You're listening to Upfront. I'm Brian Edwards-Tiekert. We're going to move on from the ballot initiatives this morning to some of the races in reach of our signal that could determine who is in control of the federal government come January. California's 21st congressional district wraps around the west and south of Fresno, runs all the way down to Bakersfield. It includes all of Kings County. The district went 55% for Hillary Clinton in 2016, but on the same ballot, its voters sent Congress a Republican, David Valadao. Now, Representative Valadao's staff declined our invitation to come on for either a debate or an interview, so this will be a one-on-one with the person who hopes to unseat him, engineer-turned-businessman-turned-community developer TJ Cox. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Brian. It's a pleasure to be here today.
I want to start with the mechanics of the race. This is a district where Democrats nominally have a 16-point registration advantage. What's your plan for getting them to actually vote?
It's actually giving them, my vision for what we can do for the Valley, what we can do together. And I can tell you, this year is unlike any other year that we've had in elections. As you know, that 70% of the residents here in the Central Valley, or certainly the 21st congressional districts, are Latino or of Latino descent. And you can only have an administration that insults them and disrespects them so many times before they're going to react. And so the people in the district, they realize that Mr. Trump and this administration is preventing them from achieving the American dream, and they're going to do something about it. They're going to come out and vote.
This one thing to come out because you don't like the president, it's another thing to come out to vote for something. So what are you affirmatively for? What do you have to offer voters?
Well, the things I've done here in the 21st Congressional District, you said, is that I'm a community developer. And the things I focus on are creating jobs and opportunity, creating healthcare clinics, community health clinics that brought healthcare access to 25,000 residents. Over the last 6 years, we've created over 1,500 jobs. And those aren't just any jobs, but well-paying jobs that offer a living wage and offer benefits. I fund educational facilities and job training facilities. And so in each one of the communities that are located throughout the district, we've got a track record of actually getting something done. So when I knock on somebody's door and ask them for their vote, and they ask, like any voter asks, what have you done for me and what can you do for me? I can point to something that I've done just down the street.
But that's different from what you'd be doing in the halls of Congress. You mentioned immigration. What would you be pushing by way of policy?
Well, it's not so different than what you'd be doing in Congress. The point of a congressman is to make a positive difference in the lives of the people that you serve.
Dream Act, yes or no?
Absolutely. Not Dream Act, Clean Dream Act.
What about the status of the roughly 10 million other undocumented immigrants that are in the country?
You know, we all know what we need to do with regard to immigration. We need an immigration policy that meets the reality on the ground. And so anybody that's here needs to be here legally. And we can start with the Dreamers, pass a Clean Dream Act, boom, citizenship directly, no delay. And then let's take a look at the 11 to 13 million undocumented immigrants that are here. And let's make sure that the ones that shouldn't be here aren't here and are sent home. But the ones that have been living and working, paying taxes, playing by the rules, we should have a process to one, ensure that they're here legally, that they come out of the shadows. And then they have some type of path to citizenship. But the first thing is to ensure that everyone is here and out of the shadows and is here legally.
Right now, the path to citizenship for people who are here without documents involves leaving the country for 10 years before they apply. Would you support getting rid of that requirement?
Yeah, absolutely. That's ridiculous.
What about the question of the actual enforcement apparatus? The agency Immigrations and Customs Enforcement has drawn a lot of criticism for how it has deployed its forces in recent years. There's former Obama officials calling it a rogue agency. Some Democrats running for office calling for abolition of ICE. What do you think Congress should do about it?
Well, I can tell you, we've seen the ramifications of the ICE's enhanced enforcement actions right here in the Central Valley. You may know and follow the case a few months ago, earlier this spring, where a poor farm worker couple was on their way to work. They got pulled over by ICE. Unfortunately, they panicked and took off. They hit a telephone pole, and they left six orphans behind. I was just talking with a family in Corcoran, California. Corcoran's a big cotton growing area, at the Corcoran Cotton Festival. And this family, their mom, family of four kids, their mom, who had been here for 20 years, working hard, paying taxes, playing by the rules, she got pulled over at a traffic stop, picked up by ICE, and deported. I mean, something that's supporting their family and a community, somehow that just doesn't strike me as being the representing the best values of America, of empathy, compassion, generosity, and a respect for hard work.
So you just made the case about how ICE is conducting itself, but the question is, from a perch in Congress, what would you propose to do about it?
I would give ICE a mission that they could be proud of, is that let's ensure that the people that shouldn't be here, the criminals, drug members, human traffickers, gang members, that they're, let's focus on getting those that group of people out of the country, right, and out of our communities. Because the fact is that there are a number of them that are causing problems, big problems. But let's focus on that. Let's not hassle the people that are here trying to make a living and supporting our businesses right here. You know, here in the Central Valley, the issue that you hear from all of the ag industry, and certainly the construction industry, is that we've got an immigration problem. We don't have enough of them.
TJ Cox, what about healthcare?
I can tell you is that I know we can provide quality, affordable healthcare to all, because that's something I do every day. I mean, my main focus is building community health clinics. My wife here is a pediatric intensive care physician. And I can tell you is that she has to deal with the consequences and the injustice of our healthcare system here and the lack of healthcare access. I mean, there's nothing more jarring or devastating to have some poor kid, end up in her ICU with, debilitating injuries or affected for life because they couldn't get treated for, a simple condition that could have been taken care of with a, very cheap antibiotic. And so the issue, and I think we all know it, we can have quality, affordable health care for all. That's not a practical problem. It's a political problem. And we need politicians and the leaders that have got the political willpower to get it done.
When you say quality, affordable health care for all, are you talking about single payer or are you talking about tweaking the Affordable Care Act?
I'm talking about that the very first thing is that we could tweak the Affordable Care Act. And we could look at a number of options. We could look at Medicare or expanding Medicaid, expanding Medicare, Medicaid or Medicare with a public option buy-in, some type of hybrid system. We're a very innovative country, and we should be looking at all of these different options. So there's no one option right now that's clearly we absolutely have to go to this, but we can't do any. But what we're doing right now is nothing. Instead of our healthcare system being enhanced, this is a Congress and this is an administration that's assaulting our healthcare system.
Let's talk about water. Federal water policy impacts your district in two ways. A lot of the plumbing that serves growers is run by the federal government. There are also a lot of communities in this district that are very underserved by water infrastructure, can't get clean water out of their taps. Less than a week ago, President Trump issued a memo to federal agencies directing them to look for ways to reduce regulatory burdens on federal water projects. Mostly that means raising dams and overhauling the canals that move water around the state. Where do you land on his actions?
Well, that memo was a two-page memo, and frankly, it was just a political show to show to somehow demonstrate that the local Republican members of Congress have actually gotten something done with regard to water. Everyone around here, water is like the weather. Everyone talks about it, but nobody does anything about it. The number one issue, as you mentioned, is the supply of clean, fresh drinking water for so many of our communities throughout the Central Valley. I can list, Arvin, Lamont, Mendota, Parlier, San Joaquin, Tranquility, and so on. All these are communities where you can't drink the water. I mean, that is a disgrace. I think clean, fresh drinking water is a right. And in fact, it's been ensconced as a right here in California. And so we need the investments of regional water systems and wastewater systems to be able to first provide all of our citizens with clean, fresh drinking water.
Do you agree with the president that loosening environmental regulations on water infrastructure projects as a path towards doing that?
We need to take a look at how our water infrastructure is working. And more than storage, if you talk to anybody, is that what we really should be looking at, and the things that we could be doing right now that both the right and the left, or the environmentalists and the agriculturalists, agree on, is more conveyance. And so when we have a big water event like in 2017, we have the infrastructure in place and we have the agreements in place to be able to take that water, to get it out to where it needs to be, to recharge our aquifers, which is our largest storage banks for times of drought. Those are the types of things that we should be doing right now and should have been done in the past.
I'll translate the wonk language for our listeners. Conveyance refers to canals and aqueducts, anything that moves water around.
Canals, aqueducts, and pipelines.
And pipelines, fair enough. TJ Cox, I want to land on the contrast question. The Republican you're running to unseat, David Valadao, he's one of a handful of Republicans in the House who have tried to get an immigration reform bill moving. Do you think there's any concern that if enough people like you unseat enough people like him, there's no one to work across the aisle with?
Oh, no, not at all. I can tell you, as soon as Democrats take control of the House, there's going to be a comprehensive immigration bill. You know, back in 2013, the Gang of Eight bill, which was overwhelmingly passed by the Senate, which is ostensibly the same Senate that was there before, was passed by a veto-proof margin. It was just never allowed to come to the floor in the House. And the reason why it wasn't allowed to come to the floor of the House, because the Speaker, Speaker Boehner, knew that it would pass. This year's discharge petition and this legislation that was being moved through, what happened there? He was killed once again by the leader. And Mr. Valadao, you know, he may claim that he's a leader on immigration. He ended up voting against his own legislation to vote for a hardline immigration bill that would have used our dreamers as bargaining chips for a border wall.
All right. TJ Cox, thank you very much for taking the time. I know it's a busy time in the campaign cycle for you.
Well, thank you so much. We're looking forward to Election Day. We're out there working hard, talking to the people. And the people know that they deserve a representative who's going to work for them.
TJ Cox is running to unseat Republican Representative David Valadao in California's 21st Congressional District. It runs west and south from the edges of Fresno, encompassing all of Kings County and pieces of adjacent counties. We did put in interview requests with the David Valadao campaign. They declined our request to do either an interview or debate. And as you know, when we do election segments, we tell you where the money's coming from. The fact that this district is a potential pickup for Democrats has brought in significant amounts of money from outside, almost all of it on the blue side of the ledger. The Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee says it is in for a couple $100,000 worth of ad buys. Independent groups, principally backed by labor unions and liberal billionaire Tom Steyer, are in for close to $900,000 more. That is according to the most recent campaign finance disclosure forms. National Republican campaign organizations seem to have largely abandoned the district. Usually that indicates they either think it is a lock or a total loss.